What is up, everybody? We are back this Thursday evening with another episode of Strong Therapy. I'm your producer, Chris, from Rare Air Live Productions. Hope everybody out there has been enjoying the nice summer weather coming through this past week. Brian and Carolyn, how have you guys been?
Oh, we've been really good. How have you been, Chris?
I've been enjoying it. I can't complain. Life's good over here in New York.
I'm glad it's getting warmer because it just seems like a matter of a few days ago it was snowing.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. We had 89 degrees yesterday. It was amazing. Me and the girls, well, two of our girls, took a little walk around the block, got some dandelions, probably made some people mad. We made our little wish on the ones with the thing on it.
Or screw a smooth transition between the weather, you know. It's like
yeah,
goes from 24 to freaking 89.
Now I'm in a sweater.
Yeah,
sweating my ball off.
Yeah, we've got some great things going on right now for the podcast. I've been working hard.
Yeah.
Working hard on getting some guests. We look forward to Rob Saul. He'll be really great coming up in May. So will Christine Meehan-Berg.
Oh,
so
nice.
We're excited to have her on.
Fine people, yes.
Yes. And at the end of the month, we're also going to have Chrissy Mayer in May. And then when we look into, I've already got some stuff for June. We got Chris Abels, Speech Impediment Man. I might mess up this name. Giovanni Russano, he's an author. He's actually sending us a book that's called Fuck. So I'm really interested to read that book.
And maybe Wendy Starling.
Yes, he's working on Wendy Starling and me too. So we've got some good guests coming up.
Yes.
Of course, Lacey occasionally will stop in. Lacey will be here when Brian is taking over the reins while I'm in Austin.
Big Austin show with Compound, yes.
Yeah, so I hope to meet any fans or any friends from Compound Media.
I'll be there in spirit.
In hot water. He'll probably, you know, most likely, Chris, be recovering from some kind of like ball pain or something like that.
Deep shooting anal pains.
Something like that.
Kniving pains.
You guys got some ambitious plans, apparently.
Exactly. We like to make our plate full.
I might shoot some video with Carolyn from Austin. You know, some little phone calls I'll record possibly.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
People love some behind the scenes content, so I'm sure people appreciate that.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, I think Speech Impediment Man's going to be there, so I want to get a video with him.
He'll be there.
Sweet. Yeah, so we're kind of changing things up a little bit, Chris. For those of you that have, what is it, OCD?
OCD.
Whatever. You're used to us starting out with news therapy. Well, we're going to switch it up. We're going to do relationship smash up first from now on.
We're switching.
We're switch hitters.
I don't like the change.
We'll get over it. I think it's smarter to go with, you know, relationship smash up so we can give some advice.
If I don't sell swords, I'm also okay.
Swords?
That's an inside joke. Some people get it.
I just thought it was a dick joke.
Yeah,
any sword reference I take always as a dick joke, unless it's actual history class.
Well, Chris, our first article,
easy
Brian,
swords.
First article is called, it's an article with a question. What do I do when my boyfriend is very friendly with his ex? So we have a letter here from Neil. My boyfriend, not living, is very friendly with his ex. They have had an on and off intimate relationship for over 20 years. Basically, we've all been through this, where a guy and a girl have an ex that they're really good friends with. And you become very jealous, or people have become controlling. He says he feels like he's caught in a rock and a hard place. I believe in friendships with boundaries.
It seems like she's keeping him on the back, or the back leash, or she's keeping him hanging on in case nothing better comes along.
Well, it is a him. It's Neil, Dear Troubled. So,
well, yeah, I know it's a dude with a girlfriend that is keeping him.
Oh, yeah.
On the leash in case nothing better comes along. Because apparently she has broken it off with him, because usually it's the girl that breaks up the relationship. And she's keeping him because he's apparently a good guy, but he wasn't a good enough guy for whatever reason. But if nothing better, if there's no greener pastures that you can find, maybe she can't find that guy that, you know, she's like the perfect guy. So in case she can't find the perfect guy, well, you know, she's got old Neil waiting, you know?
Yeah. I think that, though, when it comes to exes and friendship, personally, like I said, there should be boundaries.
Maybe he doesn't eat box.
Oh, well.
This is weird, because I've been on both sides of this. Like, I've been the guy who is friends with someone. But the difference is, like, I've been friends with a lot of girls that have had a boyfriend and that I was hanging out with platonically. But the difference was, I wasn't their ex, you know? So, like, and a lot of times those guys knew me too. Now, whether they should have wholly trusted me, maybe. But in the same time, they knew me and it was one thing. So I think if it's an ex and they don't live with you, like, it's one thing if these couple lived together and it was like a mutual friend thing, and, you know, but like, I know now myself, if I had my girlfriend and she didn't live here with me, and she had an ex that was coming to see her and like spending time like at the house alone, it would be an issue. And I'm not a jealous guy. I'm just that's just like a mathematically a fucked up situation. If you're
and that's why I no, because I agree with that. That's why I said boundaries. Yeah. If there is an ex in someone's life, they shouldn't ever be alone. So he should not be coming to his or her house. Whatever
you said, coming.
And there should be boundaries. Then sure. If you know, I think private lunches should be off limits. It should be couples or with your significant other and the ex.
Right, or
well, they wouldn't be alone,
maybe, or something.
Do you understand what I mean? Like, yeah, there shouldn't be opportunity.
Yes, I would be right. Better with them going somewhere and eating lunch than hanging out at their house.
I agree 100% there. Like, to me, like, for instance, I found out with my girlfriend, there's some people in her life that at first she may have not fully been honest about her past, you know, experiences with. These aren't exes, though. It's like a little bit more casual or whatever. And, and I told her, I'm like, these are people that have been in your life. I'm not one of those guys that's like, you better block all these numbers right now. I'm not that dude. But at the same time, I was like, you have to respect that, you know, me knowing this, you can't just be hanging out with these people like out on a Friday night at a bar. You know what I mean? Like, you got to, if you're out with a group of friends and they're there too or something, who cares? I'm not that guy. I'm not like, but I think, you know, everyone's got their limit, like their boundary, like you said.
And I've got friends in relationships that are like crazy about, they can't have Snapchat, they can't have Instagram, you know, going further, that craziness. And it wasn't necessarily the girl, it was a boyfriend. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, you can't have Snapchat, you can't have this. Who liked that? Why did they like that?
Isn't that tiresome,
I find
though?
And that to me is going too far.
Yeah, I agree.
What I think's crazy is when these girls look and see somebody's what's it called? Not Snapchat, but what's the other one called?
OnlyFans?
No,
that's quite the step
another,
up.
It's the one with the pictures.
Instagram.
You liked her picture. Like, yeah. So yeah. What of it? Yeah.
I mean, I'm
it's like, it's not her titties, you know, it's a picture of a beach or something like
that. Exactly. Yeah. Or they're bent over. I'm a little bit more.
Hey, it's a nice ass.
Exactly.
It's a nice ass.
Nice full pair of titties.
Look at them heavy jugs.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just giving her a little heart.
And
there.
I think it's uncomfortable when you know the person, like if they have
it fucking
on Instagram pages, because there are girls out there that are putting more risque photographs out there, and you know, friends have access to it.
Yeah.
And then if a girlfriend or boyfriend sees them like it, that's uncomfortable for me.
But I've learned the secret is you just have to say you knew them from college. Like it could be some like titty model on Instagram, like, oh yeah, I knew her in college. Yeah, that's why I still follow her.
Yeah.
I look at the but it's,
just showing her some appreciation.
Yeah, you know, old friend of mine, you know.
And you always need to think about if you're the person that's jealous or concerned about it, fucking flip it over to the other side.
Very true.
You have to look at both sides of the relationship. Like, I can't expect if Brian, or he can't expect for me either, if he's sitting there flipping through Instagram or whatever, and he has his girls that he likes that are in, you know, leggings and whatever. I don't give a shit if he looks at it, likes it, that kind of stuff. But if I did that, which I really don't, I mean, I have, like I said, I love certain celebrities. And
you like gals in leggings. I mean, it's no biggie.
No,
I don't care.
I know. I can.
Brian's
I can,
a man of the, he's a modern man. You can look at his
Yeah, money. Exactly. But I don't do that. But if I wanted to, it would have to be Brian has to share the same respect for me. So
sure.
You, as a relationship, I just think that putting a lot of restrictions on a relationship kind of can be hard. It makes things more difficult and can become excessive, don't you think?
It doesn't really bother me because it's just pictures. And
so if you were a person that became obsessive about it, say you're the person.
Well, anything you become obsessive over is probably going to eventually become some sort of issue, because that's the whole problem with obsessive.
So if you were talking to this person, what would your reaction be to it? What would your advice be?
Stop.
Drop.
Mm-hmm. Open up shop.
Yeah, exactly.
Cut it out.
Yeah, yeah. Just make sure you understand your partner's feelings and respect them.
The first thing, they have to be aware there's a problem, and you have to make them be aware of it. That's the first thing.
Yeah,
this person did the quintessential, I mean, maybe guys do this too, but this is the quintessential woman thing to do, which is, this seems disrespectful for me. The trouble is, he asked me if I minded and I didn't say no. So it's like, this is a person that's letting it stew up over and over and over. It's like, you gotta come correct and just put it out there. I think the problem is this. Every person, and I'd love your guys' opinions on this. Every person seems to want to have like an idea where they're managing a relationship, like a job they don't want to lose, when maybe you should lose it. And and like really, go ahead.
Exactly. If it's a problem for you in a relationship and the other person chooses the ex as a friend and that's a deal breaker for you, that means move on.
Right. Like, let it be a deal breaker. It's almost like in business, when I would be negotiating a deal for like a recruitment contract, I couldn't negotiate if I wasn't willing to walk away from the opportunity. Otherwise, you're just going to get bent over. And that's the same thing that happens here, is you get bent over in the relationship, not in the good way, because you're trying to manage the result rather than go with like what you should be just organically doing. So these kind of things always strike me as like, it's the same thing with, you know, like not wanting to rock the boat too much or whatever, but then it comes off, you know, you do that whole vanilla ice cream thing and you end up with someone you should have never even been with or something, or in a situation that is totally unhealthy for you. So it's, I don't know. It's tough because like you guys said, you want to reciprocate.
This reminds me, we love our fans, love them. But if you catch us in a fun time area like a nightclub or a bar, I have come to realize that therapy is in the show name. And you might ask us some questions about personal issues. Now, I don't mind that. I don't think Carolyn does either, not at all. And we will try to give you some advice, but based on the location and timing, it may not be the best advice at the time coming from me. Carolyn's much better. In more social situations, I tend to kind of clam up, and there's a little bit of social anxiety there that I have. So if you're coming to me for advice, you know, the best I could do is, well, I hope you find a quiet place and solve that problem. But don't think that I'm just trying to, you know, shoo you away and get rid of you, because that's not the case. It's just...
And those of you out there that if you decide to email us or ask us a question, of course, and you have it specifically for Brian, email us. And, you know, Brian, you want that guy side of therapy and an opinion or how he wants to do it. Because I kind of try to pull those kind of things out of him, because it's important for ladies to hear the guy's side.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a dick. Let me just say that. Not at all. You know, I love the fact that
he's got a big dick, but he's not a dick. That's the truth.
Yeah, I don't want to come off as, well, he was kind of a prick because he didn't really talk to me. That's no. That's not what's going on.
Well, Brian, when you look the person who's approaching you in the eye and just give them a square, fuck off. I understand how the subtlety can be lost on some of the people, perhaps.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going.
I could see Brian going, Carolyn, come here.
Pulling a Wilson from.
Somebody wants to talk to us.
Was it from Home Improvement with Wilson over the fence? Yeah.
Help.
No, but we love you guys, and if you do have questions, we will try to help. She'll try to help more than I do, but I'll do what I can.
I have a question for you guys off the back of this one that I'd love both of your opinions on.
Uh-huh.
So you talked about setting the boundaries and the rules. There have been some situations in relationships I've been in where I've never had to think of that, and then there's been other times where I have and have wanted to.
Right.
And I come to an impasse because on one hand, my natural inclination is to think if you try to set these too strong of rules that go very much against what the person's already doing or wanting to do or whatever, it might work, but there's also a strong chance that they come to resent that and possibly even look at you as like weaker for feeling that you have to impose that and not be able to just trust them to like handle their shit or respect you out of what is just plain. On the flip side, so on one hand, I think it just results in negative, you know, a negative outcome, and it actually pushes them toward or more what you're trying to stop them from doing because it makes them want to rebel against your bullshit. But on the flip side, I also realized that like there's a lot of dudes out there that don't set boundaries, that are not firm, that are very unassertive, and they get ran around on literally or steamrolled. Figuratively, of course. and it's like it doesn't work out for them either, because then they end up getting screwed. And possibly getting cheated on or other things like that. So from the man's perspective, Brian, from the woman's perspective, Carolyn, where do you guys think between those two extremes there? Like, to me, I'm saying, okay, if you're a guy and you set these rules, your girl's going to resent it and eventually possibly do something about it. Versus if you don't set them, sometimes shit happens. And like, you know, the results go the way you were worried about them going in the first place. So where do you guys stand on that personally?
I'm going to jump in here. I think that the problem is that a lot of ladies, I'm going to not speak for all ladies, but ones that I've been acquainted with, you need to remember, don't go full force on what you need to say. There has to be a balance between the couple. You know, you don't want to put them on lockdown. I mean,
you got to give them enough rope to choke themselves with, basically.
Yeah, you also have to realize that each person in the relationship, male, female, 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 male, male, whatever it is, each person should have a separate life and have some freedom. You don't have to be so in tune in everything and freaked out about every little thing. That depends on trust.
Trust them until they give you a reason not to.
Yes.
You know, I think you got to give them some sort of basic level of trust to begin with.
Oh, yeah. But, otherwise, what are you doing there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So then if, you know.
And then don't go crazy and go, listen, motherfucker, I know you're cheating. I know you're seeing so-and-so and you're fucking him just because he liked a picture.
Oh, that's the worst. That's,
you know,
I'm not exactly talking about that level, like, of person. I'm saying, like, reasonable folks in a decent relationship where you're not a total idiot about stuff.
Yeah, it's just a balance. To me, it's a balance. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Me and Brian have been married for a long time. There's been a couple of past instances where I felt I had to put boundaries.
She built a rickety fence out of wood.
It wasn't rickety. My fucking fence. My boundaries are fucking steel.
It looked like something from a Kentucky farm.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. But, you know, I had to bring it to the table, and I had to say, and don't, like you said, you sit and you might just think about it and resent it and keep getting fucking mad, and it blows up.
Yeah, don't let shit stew.
Do it immediately.
Right. Yeah, communicate. Like, right.
Tell how you're upset and your feelings about it, because that's one thing that I think is my plus, is I'm a, he probably doesn't think it is, but instantly when I'm mad, it comes out. Like, I don't like to fuck around. I have so much shit in my head because I'm fucking crazy. And when I say crazy, I mean like mental. I have to get that out and tell him, because if I don't, then I will have that resentment. And but there have been times, I'm not the perfect wife or anything like that, where I held things in and probably got resentful. And jumped at him about it. But
I just bought a kick-ass washer. It's got a pedestal. I mean, I can talk to it with my phone.
But then there's like, you know, that's my opinion as far, it's a balance and trust.
Huh.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's all it sounds simple, but it's not as simple in a relationship as we think. I mean,
you know, trust builds, trust grows. Like I said, in the beginning, give them enough rope to hang themselves. If they hang themselves, adios.
And if you're one of those guys or girls that'll sit there and be, I'm going to use the word abused, to where they're constantly fucking you over and there is something going on and you're aware of it, that's your fault.
Yeah, it becomes like shame.
Yeah,
like,
eventually, yeah. That
You have to...
You teach people how to treat you, and if they treat you like shit, well, part of that's on you because you've let them do it.
Exactly. Like, me and Brian, when we were first dating, decided we didn't want to be yellers. You know, we come from families of yellers. The really bad part is we don't yell at each other, but I yell at my kids. It's because it's something in me.
I only yell to be funny. Unnecessary yelling is hilarious. Yeah,
I wish I wasn't that way, but you know, yelling at someone because you held it in for a long time is not good. But
I've been holding in for a long time.
Yeah, but as far as that's concerned, you know, then there's makeup. Let's make up from these fights, right?
Yeah, have we ever had makeup sex? I don't think we've ever had anything to make up to where it needed sex.
No, we just have sex to have sex.
Yeah.
Which, I wonder what makeup sex would be like. I've always heard that it's good.
Well, it's always good. I mean,
But I heard it's good because, you know, it's like, rah, rah. And in movies, it's like, oh, fuck fast. And
hey, I came.
If you're doing go ahead.
Have you ever had makeup sex?
Not much, but yeah. I'm like, in relationships, I don't get in a lot of fights that are big enough to where then it's makeup sex. The fight is either small enough where you just kind of continue into another conversation, or so big that you don't see the person for a few days. I will say one thing, though. When you have it, it has to be coming off the back of an angry fight, like a vitriolic fight. Not like someone did someone wrong and you're sad and you're down about it. Like, that's not how that comes. You have to be angry at the person. And then, like, transmute, like, it's like alchemy. Like, you got to change the anger into just sexual frustration and tension and take it out on that person wholeheartedly. That's how that shit works. It's great. But, yeah, I can't say I've had it happen a million times because I don't sleep with exes. And yeah, I just haven't gotten in that many like raging fights with a girl that didn't involve one of us just leaving.
Yeah. So. I would be an avoider.
I wouldn't be in a relationship where the fight was so bad all the time to where we had to have makeup sex. That would get old.
There's some people who get off on it, though. Like, think about how conditioning works with Pavlovian stuff. Like, I know some people who are like, oh, I'd like to, you know, drink or smoke weed before I have sex because it feels better. It's like, okay, they can do it or not do it. But if you tell yourself, like, oh, no, this is the thing. Like, this is the thing that took me to the next level. You're always going to want that same thing.
Yeah.
So then you're going to get that relationship where the girl or maybe the guy starts deliberately bringing things down the fucking road on a fight just to facilitate the makeup sex. I got to give it credit, you know, going after what you want, but... Yeah, it's an interesting little
approach. Seems real unhealthy, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be with a guy like that. That would.
I did when we were.
Because I would be too logical in the argument to. She would just end up getting shitty at me because I would be salt.
Did you see my face? Because he's the one. I'm irrational sometimes. And then he is so direct that when we have fights, usually I. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to solve problems. That's where I'm like, I get my man card from, you know, I got to come to a quick solution, the best solution. And if you're coming at me with an argument, well, what, you know.
The only time he doesn't come to a quick solution is when we're in the bed. It's never.
Never a quickie.
Always a longie. So talking about this, we know, you know, this is a boyfriend and girlfriend. There's some things that I wanted to talk about as far as sex is concerned on the show.
Sex!
Yeah, sex and things we need to know. Those of you that don't know, I wanted to learn. Again, these are things I want to learn when I'm on here. Our next article.
You're going to talk about the naughty stuff.
Yeah. The differences between latex versus non-latex condoms.
Go.
And I love the picture. Look at all the colors. I'm not going to lie, Chris. When I was in high school... Wait. But when I was in high school, I was a virgin till I was 21. And I purposely carried colored condoms. So when I found this article, I was like, oh, reminiscent of high school, carrying around the little different colors. What?
None.
You liking that?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, So I don't know about the different types of...
Well, latex condoms supposedly protect you from getting sexually transmitted diseases. Mm-hmm. Viruses and bacteria and all that nasty stuff. Now, some of the there's like lambskin condoms that make it feel better, is what I've been, you know, what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
But they have larger pores that will allow viruses through them,
mm-hmm.
because they are indeed skin, which is basically like going bareback, if you will, because skin is skin.
Mm-hmm.
But polyurethane, I believe, are more like latex because they do have the smaller pores, but there is heat. Mm-hmm. I believe it allows heat. So they do feel better than latex.
You have to be careful if you use those, because if you go slow, it could come out the way you expect. But if you go too fast, your dick will become extra crispy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The heat situation is for real.
Yeah, and it says that...
Fryer. We're the GoDaddy. You don't want to fuck a GoDaddy.
The polyurethane doesn't stretch as much like the latex.
No.
Can I speak to that, by the way? That is a very important point you're mentioning, because I, at one point, when I was foolish enough to use condoms... I'm kidding. Be safe out there.
We'll get there because I have some topics on that.
So I remember being like, wow, this sucks. I bet this could be better. And I read about a new one at the time that was polyurethane called the Trojan Supra. And I think I tried it a handful of times. And let me preface this by saying that in my life before that, I've never broken in any way visibly a condom. I tried five times with those. Five times they became a cock ring. All five. 100% of the time it broke and completely just, well, I guess it still served a purpose, I guess, if you're into that. But it definitely didn't serve any prophylactic purpose after that. So if you're using polyurethane, make sure you don't get one of the brands that is like shorter than what you're used to or something, because you will literally break through the front of it and probably not notice, because they do feel pretty good.
Right.
Sorry, and not it, funny, no, just an actual PSA for everyone.
No, it's good because...
Then you're in the bathroom and look down.
You're like, wow, these are the best ever. It has never felt this good. And you're like, oh shit, I just came
exactly. Inside. And you know, it's really important.
I think I hurt myself. I need to go check out after that yell.
Hold okay. On. Well, one of the... Okay, I'll see you in a few. So I love that you're leaving me in the middle of a podcast, but okay.
Sorry.
Anyways, so the other thing that's really funny to me, or not funny, one of the things I want to get out there to the public and people that share in my wanting information is... knowing how to put a condom on properly, okay?
That's true.
A lot of girlfriends don't know it. Mm-hmm. Even men don't properly know how to put it in. And I probably should have had a banana to like show. But when you're putting on the condom, say this is my condom right here, and I'm getting ready to roll it, you roll it, but once you get it to the end of the shaft or even at the top, so the reservoir tip is up at the top and it looks like a little nipple. And you make sure that you squeeze that.
Oh, Carolyn, we have a caller coming in from somewhere. Oh, you want to take that? You want to answer that there?
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, you're on the air on Strong Therapy.
Hi, this is Carolyn. How can I help you?
Hi, this is Gunther. I was calling in. I had a relationship/sexual problem.
Okay, how can I help? Tell me.
Well, it's my penis. You know, my prick, if you will.
Okay.
It's about 6 inches long, but the problem is I got a big head, a big, big fat head, like a German helmet.
Right.
It's big and fat. But the problem is as it tapers down the shaft, I have what's called a small base, thin base.
Yeah.
Head fat base thin. Head fat base thin.
That's a
little. And my girlfriend's always yelling timber.
Timber! That's a good song.
I'm like, what the hell?
That's a good song
and it always
too.
Flips and flops. What do you suggest? Yeah, go ahead.
So what are you needing me to help you with? The shape, how to make sure it stays in the vagina.
Well, yeah, because she gets on top and it always wants to flip and flop out, even when I'm really hard, because the base isn't strong enough, you know, to support her weight and the contraction of her pussy muscles.
Okay, so what I would recommend here, Gunther, big head, small base. Why don't you fuck her so that you can hold the base as she's laying there? Would that help?
You mean get some toothpicks and kind of pop it up?
No toothpicks.
Oh,
that
like a broken plant, you know, like taping the toothpicks, a little splint action.
That might help. I see what you're saying.
I could like... I could get like a condom and put like a popsicle stick in there and kind of like brace it.
Exactly. But make sure you get a thick condom because you don't want it to break. We don't want any STDs, right?
So don't get a polyurethane condom, you're saying. That's what you were talking about. I just listened to it on the show there. You had a polyurethane that break?
Yeah, you do not want polyurethane because those fuckers will break. And the popsicle stick will most likely break it before you even get the fucker on.
Head fat base thin.
Exactly. Well,
I'm picturing a stage microphone. Think of how your favorite comedians hold a stage mic from the bottom, as some of them do. Maybe that sort of technique will be helpful.
Because
those taper to the bottom. It's like the mic head is big and it tapers to a bottom little you know.
So I'm going to use this as an example.
Yeah, like, is this inaccurate? I guess, like, she's holding a 20-ounce water bottle upside down. Would that be an accurate representation of what we're talking about here, sir?
Yeah, I'm surprised there's any blood that even flows through that fucker. You know, just enough to get piss out of it is a surprise, but somehow it gets hard, and I don't know. It's a wonder of God.
Now, does your girlfriend complain about that bass?
Well, her complaining is she yells timber like that song. I'm yelling timber!
Well, why don't you try the popsicle sticks? And I also think you should try fucking her yourself. Have her lay on the bed or wear, prop her up on a table. Hold that bass and fuck her good.
You mean you make gravity my friend?
Exactly. Gravity is a good thing.
Try the pile driver.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, thank you for the call, and I look forward to hearing from you again, Gunther, okay?
All right. That was some good advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See, you know what's nice here, Carolyn? This is a win-win for Gunther, because not only can he have better sex, but if he gets this popsicle stick splint thing figured out, she owes him a Arts and Crafts merit badge as well. So, you know, two birds,
exactly.
One stone.
Exactly. Arts and Crafts. Maybe they can sit together and make, you know, I don't know, a bird cage or bird...
a macaroni bird painting.
House, yeah. Afterwards. It'll be full of cum and shit, but it might help with the gluing. Yeah. So getting back to the condoms, as we are discussing how they can be used, make sure that you try some different types and remember that it's important to use them. None of us want to get gonorrhea, herpes. Welcome back there, baby.
I gave that plumbing such a punch.
We also don't, no one wants to get what they call the true word, public lice, or as we all know it as crabs.
Social disease.
Yes, we don't want any of that. Or molluscum contagiosum.
Molluscum contagiosum.
Very different, yeah. Though. That's that not actually, violent. Yeah, that one is actually not a disease, but yeah, still don't want to deal with it.
No, yeah. It's awful, and it spreads. And ladies, in your vagina, you don't want any sores or bumps or rashes or anus itches or even down to your thighs. So I recommend protection. Please do that.
I would like to design a full shorts condom that you put on as shorts, just, you know, because...
juices get everywhere.
Exactly. I mean, you're going to have juices on your balls, which could contain little heebie-jeebies. You know, you never know. And you're leaving your boys out there to hang for themselves.
What about how would you picture them being cleaned?
With a rag.
They'd just be washable, or are they latex?
Oh, you're talking about the condom shorts.
Yes.
You'd have to throw them in the dryer.
So I'm thinking, what material? Like, to me, they should be like...
they would have to be a polyurethane latex mix to get you that stretch,
mm-hmm.
but also that come hither feeling.
Ew, yeah. And I like the boy shorts idea. So,
also, anybody that's ever used a cheap condom realizes, like, it smells like a tire factory. So I can't imagine, like, how much the shorts would smell if that size...
Ew. Yeah.
Like, if you've ever used, like, if
you smell, just keep.
Yeah. It's like if you've used the free condoms at your college or like at a doctor's office, you know what the fuck I'm talking about.
The Acme Company.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go to Planned Parenthood and they have a big thing
on
the desk. Yeah. And you grab like five.
Or like the nurse's office at college. It's like, yeah, you open that thing up and no one is fucking. Like, you're about to have a open a window, let the fumes out so you don't die. It's like, that's the. It's another
romance.
Level. Anyway, condoms, great ideas, guys.
Yes, and the last thing was, ladies, for her pleasure, Carolyn recommends Trojan's Her Pleasure Ecstasy Lubricated Latex Condoms. Try them. You will like them.
It's like a Starbucks order now.
I know, right?
Double studded, ribbed halfway, north, south for her pleasure latte.
Yeah.
Sleep easy at night. Use condoms.
Yeah, right. Oh, so this actually reminds me of a video that I saw that really stresses the importance of condom usage as far back as 1987. So we're talking over 30 years ago. And I believe that this one came from Australia. So let's see what this is.
At first, only gays and IV drug users were being killed by AIDS. But now we know every one of us could be devastated by it. The fact is, over 50,000 men, women, and children now carry the AIDS virus. That in 3 years, nearly 2,000 of us will be dead.
It's a little OD. Watch this next one. The baby.
Australians than World War II.
Here, listen.
But AIDS can be stopped, and you can help stop it. If you have sex, have just one safe partner, or always use condoms.
Always.
I think you can probably hit a 7-10 split with ease.
All I knew was the baby, and all I thought was the time frame to Chris.
Probably uses a child's ball, you know, because the fingers are smaller, you know, bony fingers.
I just love how 80s it is, because you could tell, like, by what people were allowed to say. He's like, it was once thought that AIDS was only for gays and intravenous drug users.
And I totally thought it was a Michael Jackson video. Like, I thought Michael Jackson was going to walk out and do Thriller. Yeah. Just, that's what I was thinking was going to happen. Like,
oh, man. Ooh.
Anyway, yeah, that was a
good... I'm fat.
I'm a big bitch.
That song was the best. Roy Nelson, the fat UFC fighter, used to, with a great sense of humor, walk out to that song for every fight.
Oh, yeah?
The I'm Fat parody, yeah. Weird Al. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Weird Al.
That is my husband and our daughter Cicely's funny thing. My Cicely will walk out and just all of a sudden we're eating dinner and she'll start saying that, and her and Brian start laughing.
Yeah.
And then Brian, their banter is just, their mind is on sync. It's funny, but yeah, that's not.
This gal gets it.
Yeah. Yes, she does. We also have another article, Chris, in Relationship Smash Up, about pillow princesses.
Like a pillow biter?
So have you ever heard of a pillow princess? Because I hadn't.
I hadn't either.
I've heard of a pillow biter.
I'm one of those.
Yeah. I just drool on them.
Well, a pillow princess is, and if you're labeled one, I never knew what it was.
Hey, princess. How you doing?
You might be thinking that the girl is living a life of luxury. And you're right. If you're a pillow princess, it's a cushy ride.
However, is this a 1,000 thread count a week?
However, it's also likely that no one wants to have sex with you if someone's called you this. So what exactly is a pillow princess? If you think a pillow princess is a mythical creature, think again. You may have been standing behind a pillow princess at the grocery store or even ordering your mocha latte from a pillow princess. If it's your time, it's your first time hearing out about a pillow princess, then you've been lucky. It is.
I guess
refers to ladies who lie there during sex and do nothing. First, the term pillow princess is usually directed towards women who are bisexual or in a lesbian relationship who enjoy receiving oral sex but do not want to give it or reciprocate it. They're women who love sex, but only on their terms, and only if they don't have to do anything.
You mean like a dead fuck?
Pretty much. You know, but also sharing. I mean, if she's sitting there getting oral from whomever, the guy, the girl, and she's not reciprocating, how do you feel about that?
Well, if I wasn't giving it, I guess I wouldn't expect to get it. So, you know.
And why is she called a pillow princess? And what's the name for a guy? I mean, I looked it up and they were calling him a pillow prince. But to me, that's a... he might be queer.
That might be a different type of...
afraid of the vagina.
Really?
Well, there's always like... go ahead.
His name was Gary. You know, a guy just laid there and... you know, just she was always on top.
Well, and they say that there's different reasons to why.
A guy has to be doing something, doesn't he?
Right.
I mean, he has to, you know, he has to be there in some shape or fashion, I would think.
Well, but part of it is that they say these pillow princesses seem to be almost uninterested in sex.
Hmm.
She might be shy or prudish.
Maybe she has a small clitoris. It's like hidden behind the hoods, if you will, so she never gets full satisfaction.
No, she enjoys receiving cunnilingus.
So she's getting off.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's not giving it to her partner.
And not even just that. She's not fucking squatting, lifting, twisting, etc. She's going to lay there and just
get what she wants.
Yeah.
But she's selfish.
That's the old school term. We've moved on from that, Brian. We're in a more progressive time now. Now
it's so called, now we're a pillow princess.
Now you're a princess.
Yeah.
Hey, put this dick in your mouth. Get fucking busy.
Exactly.
What the hell are you doing down there?
She also expects you or the partner to put in more effort.
You better start doing something or you're fired.
And another reason she might not do it is for inexperience.
Oh, I'll teach you. Put a ball in your mouth. Do something. Call a cop.
Use your hands, too.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of this.
Squeeze my ball.
And if you need some ideas, you know, the balls, they like to be rolled around like
my nuts.
You know when you know you have the keeper? When you get a girl who's like the opposite of this is the girl who puts in work from the bottom. Like, you're on top, you're in the position to be doing all the work, but they still meet you halfway because they're just that into it. And also, they usually got to be a little in shape for that, too. Like, whether they're, you know, a few pounds under regular or a few pounds overweight, you can't do that if you're just like a lump. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have been... I don't know. Like,
you gotta be able to do some sit-ups. And ladies, even if you don't do it all the time, just remember that pain a few days later and you're not used to doing sit-ups because you're using muscles. It's so worth it.
Practice your Kegels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even during sex.
What I don't get is, how do you know you're doing them? Like, because I hear men can do them, women can do them. How do you know you're squeezing the right thing? Like, right now, I could tighten something up down under my nuts, but I don't know if that's really a Kegel. Like, how do you...
On a female, we feel our muscles contract, and it's good to do it outside of having sex, and it's a really good trick when you're having sex use your Kegels.
Yeah, that I've felt. So, like, I'm like, okay, I get how women can, like, tell.
Yeah,
I've been the dipstick before, but I'm like, for a guy, they're like, guys should do it too for, you know, better sex and stuff like that.
I think you can arc ropes better if you practice that.
And what about, you know, there's times during our sex that like afterwards or during, he'll purposely do like a muscle thing.
Squeezing thing, yeah. And you make an insider go.
Yeah,
When you're half hard, it makes it dance. Like if you're soft or fully hard, it doesn't matter. But if you're halfway there, you could do the dance moves with it if you get a little creative.
And it's always funny to me. Be funny in bed.
I would say practice holding a towel with your penis.
Really?
Yeah,
that's actually a solid fucking idea. Yeah, a hand towel.
Make it go like this. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
You start with a washcloth and you work your way up to a beach towel, you know, incrementally.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you'll be shooting ropes before you know it.
Exactly. And she'll be going, "What is that? Oh, oh, oh."
And I go, "Ha!"
Yeah,
well, I go,
let's work on that.
Ooh.
Let's work on that. So yeah,
If I'm gonna do that too, how do you spell woohoo? Like, how do I? Is the accent on the O or the?
Whatever sound she makes that's positive, you're doing a good thing. Or my favorite thing is when a girl or even me goes, "Oh, Brian," when you hear them call your name, you're stay in that groove.
Yeah.
Or whatever you're doing. Remember that.
If their eyes are rolled back in their head, you're doing something right.
Or you're looking crazy like.
Yeah. Or if their voice drops an octave.
Yeah, I do that.
If they start speaking to you in a absolutely breathless voice where you can understand nothing they're saying, you're doing the right thing.
I usually go, "Oh, Brian," like, "Oh, God damn, this is good."
Also, another thing I've learned is if they talk to your dick or they make your dick talk.
I was going to say that.
They really like your dick. Preferably in a deeper voice, but it doesn't really matter. This is better than...
This can go to
Yeah, you don't want to have baby talk your dick.
I make his dick talk. And I'll go... I'm sorry. I'll go, "It's all right."
Oh, I thought you meant she makes it talk like she does something inspiring and it goes, "Me, me, 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 me."
No, something. She'll actually make the urethra open up and talk like a puppet.
Like she makes it into a hand puppet.
Yeah.
I'm laughing. Because I can't believe we're sharing this. It's funny because, you know, I don't know how I twist it a little bit and make it like talk to him. Or I'll say, "You missed me, didn't you?" "Yes, I did." But, you know, make it fun.
Give it an accent. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, guys, if you're worrying about your dick, if it's good or not, if she makes it talk or she talks to it like you're not even there, you're A-okay.
That's absolutely true.
It is a different part of you, though. Like, it's its own entity. It has its own mind. And ladies, you need to realize the penis is completely separate from the man. Yes, it's connected. But if you make it talk, they will laugh. You will laugh. It'll be a good intimate moment for you guys.
I can corroborate this. Unlike me, my dick is fully functional. So, yes, she's absolutely correct that it's a whole separate personality. Yeah. Brian, what were you going to say? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was just going to say, you can sleep easy at night if she makes your dick talk or she talks to it like you're not there in the room.
Sorry. Oh, my cheeks hurt. Yeah.
So don't be a pillow princess. Don't be a pillow princess.
No, be involved in the sex. Do silly stuff. Don't just lay there. Be creative. Go, you know, I don't necessarily get lingerie or anything like that. There's occasionally, I think in the beginning I did, but now money goes to other things. But I still try to get a sexy bra and get a sexy pair of panties occasionally, or he prefers.
I like it with just a bra on and nothing, well, maybe high heels, but basically just a bra and maybe one nip riding on top of the bra.
It's very specific.
That's pretty funny.
But you know what, though? He's right, though. It's not always like straight up nudity that's the sexiest. That little bit of like, I don't know what you call it. The mystery.
Just a little titillating.
Just a little bit of what do you call
naughtiness?
It?
Naughtiness?
Well, too, like a
mystery. Like there's still some veil. Like how a burlesque show could be a lot sexier than like a full on strip club.
Yes.
There's a little bit of mystery there and not knowing.
Yeah. So that's pretty sexy, you know.
I think you could definitely have sexier photos sometimes with clothes on than without. It just depends on like how the person's putting their energy into it.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's like this one gal I follow. I don't want to see her OnlyFans, you know, because I don't want to see the whole kit and caboodle. You know, I want to have a little bit of the mystery with just the bikinis and the leggings and all that shit. I don't want to see the OnlyFans. I want some of that, just not. I don't want to see it. You know.
And I think that females are that way too. And I think we like to look at chests with jeans on. You know, when we share pictures with our girlfriends being silly like that, they're like Chippendales. They have shirts off, but then they have pants. Usually, unless it's some kind of penis joke, we don't usually send look at this penis or whatever, unless they're a little trashy people, I think.
I just always presumed that all of any girlfriends I've had, friends, knew about my dick. Like, I always operated under that assumption. Just like, I don't know, is that how girls are? I don't know.
Are you a proud guy about your dick?
Yeah.
So that's good. She might share it with her closest friends, especially if you were her biggest.
Probably not too many details, because I don't want their friends coming after.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't shared these friends yet, so when are they going to come over? Like, when is that happening? Does she share the friends with me, or does she just share me with the friends?
Yeah.
I'm just fucking around. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable.
No, I'm thinking about how... When, like, I might have said this before. Brian's sister told me when I first started dating him, she was like, "Don't brag about my brother." And I was like, "What are you talking about? He's great, blah, 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 blah." She goes, "Don't brag to your friends, because some people that might have had a chance with him will think, oh, well, fuck, I missed that. Mm-hmm. Now I want it." So you kind of, if you're a smart girl, you'll keep. I brag about Brian a lot, but I'm very comfortable in our relationship now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is like that. You're getting to a point where it makes me think of that scene from that Sarah Marshall movie where she would dress, what the hell is it, Jason Segel up in like a really fucking stupid shirt or stupid hat deliberately so he would look shittier so no other girls would want him at the bar. And she'd be like, "No, baby, yeah. It means a lot to me to wear the gift." But really, she knows it looks like a piece of shit. She's just knocking him down.
I'm the opposite of her. Yeah. I am the opposite of her. These hats that Brian's been wearing were my idea first. Then he really picked it up when we went to Germany on our trip and bought some.
No, I was wearing them before that.
That's why I said I'm the one that introduced you to them. Then you started buying more.
Well, they had a better selection in Germany, I would say. They were some really cool freaking hats over there.
But as far as his dressing is concerned, he dresses himself, other than when I want to be matchy-matchy.
Yeah.
And
he can dress himself.
Well, my dad was colorblind.
Brian, she's got a gold star for you after the show, too.
Exactly. She's
got a gold star sticker.
Yay! I can do it.
My dad would have my mom always pick out his clothes, but I didn't understand. I thought it was that whole they were traditional, and he just let her do that.
I'll just turn into Brundlefly and only have one outfit.
Well, I come to find out he was colorblind. Oh. He didn't know how to match things. So, anyways, talk about old news. Let's talk about new news. And our title coming up is it's a couple of videos. Come Clean. It's about the king. Well, he'll be the king of England, Prince Charles and Camilla. There's a possibility that there's an illegitimate son in Australia. So there's two videos I wanted to share and kind of share those with people and see Brian's ideas on this. And I have some of my own. And Chris, you can, of course, come in there and say something.
Gotcha.
Claims to be the secret love child of Prince Charles and Camilla has sparked fierce debate after sharing what he says is new photographic evidence.
Simon Durante Day believes he is the Duke and Duchess of Cornwall's son, born out of wedlock.
He looks as old as them.
To a family who had strong ties to the Queen. And they called it
puppy love. Charles and Camilla's love story is long and complicated. Before the prince married Diana in 1981, he was allegedly still in love with one of his former girlfriends, Camilla Parker Bowles. Their love story has been well documented over the years, with Diana famously addressing the rumour in this BBC interview.
Well, there were three of us in this marriage, so it was a bit crowded.
In 1993, an intimate conversation between Camilla and Charles was leaked, confirming the couple's illicit relationship. It ultimately led to the end of Charles' marriage to Diana and Camilla's marriage to her husband, Andrew Parker Bowles. At the time, Charles refused to give in to the speculation.
She has been a friend for a very long time, and along with a lot of other friends, and will continue to be a friend for a very long time.
But in 2005, the pair finally tied the knot, celebrating their 15th wedding anniversary last April. But one Aussie isn't convinced the world knows their true story. Simon Durante Day claims to be their secret love child. And he says this photo
is his grandchild to the left,
unlocking the 55-year-old mystery.
That's a dude.
Wow. Simon joins us now from Brisbane. Thanks for joining us. Look, you've fought for decades to prove this, even take you to court. Why should anyone believe you?
Hey, well, listen, good morning, Koshy. Good morning, Nat. Well, I think the evidence speaks for itself. I mean, the face is what gives it away.
Well, did Camilla birth him?
Issue with that's Liam's photo.
And by the way, on Maury Povich, they can look just alike and not be related.
Oh, yeah. Fishing. And I just shared it with the people on the page, and the lady took the photo and changed it to black and white, rotated it, and put it alongside the Queen. I mean, I see it every day. You know, every day when I get up in the morning and the kids speak to me, the first thing I see when I turn around is that. Yeah. So it's always in my face.
Yeah, she's Simon, look, I mean, I know it's a likeness, but I don't know whether that's proof. You say you have proof that they conceived in 1965, although royal commentators say
he's like their age
only
almost, isn't he?
Apollo in the 70s.
That's what he looks like to me.
Indeed, Nat, that's the argument. It's always been presented. I think should the I keep Times going? Is the earliest one that I found.
You
they said
stop.
They met in 1969. It jumps from anywhere from
I gotta say this.
1975.
I feel like this kind of proves what you guys were saying earlier about that. This is a throwback to that boundaries story, because in that video, in a situation where we all know Prince Charles was sleeping with Camilla Parker Bowles, but we all know that after the fact, he on the media was like, yeah, you know, she's a friend. She's going to continue to be a friend. It's like, that sounds a lot like the first story we read from that troubled person with the ex,
yeah,
who's too much
exactly.
of a friend still, you know? It's like, see how it goes now?
and she was able to, and he was able to.
How old is Prince Charles? In his 70s?
I'll find 70? Out.
Well, he's in the video, he gives information there was a time when they were, Charles and Camilla had first met. And there's dates that she went away and went to, they think Australia. She like fell off the face of the earth. And Charles went to Australia around the time that he was birthed. And this woman that is connected to the household of the royal family adopted him. And the grandma, his grandma, told the story to him since he was little. He's going through the court system to find out legally if he is their son. He wants a DNA test, but there's legal things in England that has to happen, transpire between Australia and England.
Well, he'd have been 18 when this guy was born.
Well, exactly.
Let's see. Prince Charles, I just looked up for you, is 72. So there's that. And then,
yeah.
But see, like this, yeah, I guess you have to get the person's permission and consent before you ask them for their blood and DNA, right? But he...
Yeah.
Camilla is actually a year older than him, so she'd have been 19. So they could have definitely have been this guy's parents, even though he's aged poorly.
I think it's because the sun in Australia. I bet it's his skin got ruined from the sun.
Crikey!
This is also a testament to like modern technology, because I'm thinking what you're talking about here is the implication I'm getting from your story is that back in the day, before medical abortions were safe and legal. An abortion was basically you take a trip to Australia, birth the child, and never go back. And that was an abortion. And then there's just, you know, that you could have them raised by the Aborigines or maybe a scorpion family of some kind, coyote dog, you know, but like.
And if this is true, what connection does he have to the royal family? Because he would be the first son.
And we birthed her in an AMC Rambler.
Oh, see, that's a different angle that I didn't think of. She's right.
Yeah.
He would be the eldest child. But when you're a bastard, does that matter?
No, but he would, if he is his father should give him some kind of royal standing and some kind of royal name.
I think you'll be the prince. Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah.
Because we had a delicious sandwich.
Yeah.
The day you were born.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting. You know, I'm not.
It's the Earl of Burrito.
I'm not really into this whole other stuff that's going on with the, you know, Harry and all that kind of stuff. I'm more interested in the hiding of shit back in the day. I love, personally, I love history where they hid a child and, you know, became illegitimate and blah, 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 blah. But found that interesting. Looking forward to see more of that.
Just get a blood test. I mean, you know.
Well, but that's the thing. He has to go through the courts for it. It isn't like he can go to the king and go, or the prince and go, yeah, give a DNA.
I'm picturing 6 weeks from now, the highest rated episode of Maury ever, where he's like, Charles, you are not the father. And then Jay-Z or, like, you know, Outkast starts playing and Prince Charles jumps out the seat and starts like Dougieing and then running through the crowds, running through the crowd, both arm out, slapping fives on both sides of the aisle.
He's like, give me a high five. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Jolly old good old chap. Time for fish and chips.
Exactly.
And he pulls a quad. Ah! God.
Breaks a leg.
Bloody hell!
He tries to go into the audience.
They've ripped me quad clean off.
Yes. Yeah, that would be an epic Maury. That would be freaking. Could you imagine how much the seats would sell for?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that'd be like people pay to watch the royal wedding. I mean, imagine if they were doing a DNA test on Maury fucking Povich.
Amazing. I'd tune into that one.
I would too. I'm not going to lie.
I totally would. Well, we're going to leave on that note. It was a good show today. We appreciate everybody coming out. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share.
Hit that subscribe button right meow, yeah. And a bell over here.
Yeah.
Right there.
And you can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. What's the other one?
I know we are on RSS, Spotify, and iTunes for sure.
So you can follow us on that and listen.
YouTube, of course, and Facebook.
Just listen to us on your drive if you want to laugh a little bit. So I'm going to call my friend. Old man.
Old man.
Old man. Come old out and play. Man. Mr. Old Man. Where you at, dog? Come on. What's going on? Why are you barking?
I'm an old dog.
What's been going on with you lately? I noticed you got a new hat.
Yeah, I went golfing.
You did?
Uh-huh.
How'd you do?
Yeah, I was just a handicap. It was bad.
It was bad?
Yep.
I don't.
By 7 and 8 iron.
Oh, was there some?
Fell in a water trap. Or a hazard, if you will.
Did you, were you angry when your golf clubs broke?
Took a bath in the hot water there, the hazard. And my, 7 and 8 iron did break, yep.
Oh.
My balls were a little stinky, so I grabbed some soap, and then I was kicked out of the club.
Yeah, taking a bath in the, in wherever is not. That's public indecency.
And the sad thing was I was on the 9 hole by the clubhouse where you're supposed to swing around for the back 9. Well, I just washed in the back 9. And then I tried to use the ball washer.
Oh, did that?
For my balls.
Did
not
it?
The golf balls. The balls. My balls. Yep.
Did it feel good?
No, because they got it jammed in there.
Are you banned? I would think now you're banned.
They kicked me out after the whole bath thing.
Mm-hmm. Will you be able to go back?
If I have a disguise.
Is that why you got the hat?
No, I wore this hat. I was golfing, I told you.
So maybe next time don't wear the hat.
I better have a mask or something. Fuck golf.
Yeah, I'm not a big golf fan.
Nope. Mm-mm.
So have you ever had a girlfriend or that was a pillow princess? Did you hear the conversation about pillow princesses?
Most women back in the 40s were pillow princesses.
Yeah.
We just called them women.
They just laid there?
Yeah, they didn't know shit back then.
You didn't try to teach them?
Hell no. It was better if they didn't do anything. Just lay there. Let me shove this here and shove this there. Now the 60s came and they got all crazy.
Uh-huh.
And weird. Grabbing things. Coming.
Did you?
Making me work. Oh, I didn't like it. I got used to it.
So then, in other words, you were a pillow prince beforehand?
No, I was always working.
Oh, yeah.
Shoving, licking, smelling. Oh.
Oh. Well, I appreciate you coming by today. Oh, no. Wait a minute. You have a deep throat.
Well, a lot of big tits.
That's the shape of a penis.
Well, yeah, sometimes you experiment in the 60s.
Well, thank you for coming by, old man. We'll see you next week. Look forward to seeing you guys, and have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.